The first thing I want to do is ask you guys a question, and Pastor Dan's going to help me with that over in the chapel. And I want you to finish this sentence, okay? And Pastor Dan's going to relay your answers so everyone in Zoom and I can hear what their answers are. So this is the sentence I want you to finish. If not for COVID last year, I would have dot, dot, dot. If not for COVID last year, I would have, how would you finish that sentence?
Anyone?
So let me know. How would you finish that sentence? If not for COVID last year, I would have
gone traveling overseas. I think that was a lot of us are thinking that, huh? Anyone else got a different one? I would have been much happier. Anything else? Maybe one or two more? If not for COVID, I would have. Ying, you got anything? Gone overseas to the Philippines. How about one more? Vicky, do you? What do you have? Travel overseas. Okay, yeah. I think for me, I would have not gained so much weight.
All right, thanks, Dan. So great answers. Yeah, in many ways, the pandemic has been marked by these three words. I'd hoped to travel is what I'm hearing a lot of you say. I'd hoped to have eaten less, some of you have said. I'd hoped when I talked to some of the new uni students, I'd hoped to meet new friends at uni. Lots of people have said I'd hope to go to more celebrations. It has been the last 12, 13, 14 months has been a year marked by those three words. I had hoped. Now, things are looking more hopeful for us now. But in many ways, last year, we've had lots of different feelings of sadness. But disappointment would have been one of those things. We would have experienced lots of disappointments along the way. And really those three words, I had hoped, marked a lot of our past 13 or so months. But their words, I think, which we carry a lot throughout our life, don't we? From an early age, we start to say, well, I'd hope this or I'd hope that. And as we get older, those words become more acute to us, don't they? I'd hoped that my life would have turned out better. I'd hope that I would be married by now. I'd hope that my marriage would be better. I'd hoped for kids. I'd hoped for a better career, for more pay. I'd hoped for more significance. I'd hoped that I would have had more time to do the things I loved doing. Those three words we carry all throughout our life. I had hoped. And of course, death is the great hope killer, isn't it? And that's why our life has been so disrupted these past 13 months or so. The government has been trying to protect us. We are trying to protect people from the great hope killer. That's why we had these lockdowns and homeschooling and quarantining and social distancing and masks, because we didn't want death to hit us. But of course, you can't stop death, can you? We can only delay death. And that's what our government has been trying to do. We didn't want anybody to prematurely die from COVID. Death is the great hope killer. And what we do in our society most of the time is that we distract ourselves from death. We busy ourselves so we don't have to think about death. And when we're confronted with death, at funerals, for instance, we say things like, well, they've gone to a better place. But how do we know that? How do we know that that isn't just wishful thinking? Well, that's our question today. You know, where can we find the foundation in life where there is true hope, because we all need hope, don't we? Last night, I got a call from a friend of mine who called me, and he suddenly said, let's meet up. I really, really need to chat. And so I drove half an hour away to meet up with him, and I spent the night listening to all of his troubles. And he was telling me he really has messed up his whole life, and he's full of guilt and regret. He's someone who needs hope. We all need hope. And maybe you have a lot of regret in your life. You'd hoped for many things that didn't turn out. Well, where can we find true hope in our life? And this is what Easter Sunday is about. The hope that God has given to the world through his son, Jesus. But let's look at the very first Easter Sunday, because at first, it doesn't look so helpful. At first, it doesn't look too good. The hopes of Jesus' disciples look dead and buried. And that's because, I mean, remember what happened on Good Friday before that. They'd watched their master, their Lord, their teacher, who they put all their hopes in. They'd watched him get beaten and scourged and nailed to a Roman cross. They saw him suffer and die, and then he was buried. And with him, their hopes were buried as well. And one of my favorite encounters in the Easter story is the story of Mary in John 20. And so in these verses that were read to us, I want to focus on those passages that speak about Mary's encounter with Jesus. Well, let's look at the context first of all. Verse 1, it says, early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So the setting in the beginning of that day mirrors the setting in Mary's heart. There's darkness on the outside early in the morning, still dark, but there's darkness in her heart. But the stone had been rolled away and the tomb was empty. And come down with me now to verse 11. What does it say there? Mary stood outside the tomb crying. She's crying. She's weeping because her Savior, her Lord, the one she had put all her hopes in, had died. Now, who was Mary Magdalene? Well, she was one of the people who had been following Jesus around for a few years, along with the others, Jesus' disciples. But prior to that, she was a woman, we're told, who had seven evil spirits in her. And Jesus cast those evil spirits out of her. And her life before meeting Jesus was a life of darkness, of despair, of shame, of oppression, and enslaved. But then she met Jesus and light flooded into her darkness. She was shown grace and mercy and love, and she was included amongst Jesus' closest disciples. And she traveled with him and she saw him do incredible things. He would give sight to the blind. He would heal the lame. He would heal lepers. He raised this dead girl from the grave. He raised this man, Lazarus, a man from the grave. He taught like no one who had ever taught before, offering God's grace and mercy for sinners. And he was a champion to those who were defenseless. He gave hope to the hopeless. And she had put all of her hopes in Jesus. But then he died. And she stands at the tomb, weeping, crying. And we're told in verse 11, as she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. And they asked her, verse 13, woman, why are you crying? Now, to the angels, there's nothing more inconceivable than crying at the tomb of Jesus. I mean, this is the day of life and hope, isn't it? Death has been defeated. Forgiveness has been paid for, and it's offered to the world. Why, Mary, are you crying? Did you not hear that the Son of Man must die and in the third day he would rise again? Jesus had said that to the disciples several times. But she is too overwhelmed in her grief, in her present circumstances. She's so lost that she had forgotten those words. She didn't understand those words. She had lost her friend and Lord, the one who had given her love. But now he's dead, and she's unable to see where he is. She's unable to see beyond her grief. Why are you crying? And she answers, they have taken my Lord away, and I don't know where they have put him. She's saying, this is too much. This is the final indignity. It wasn't enough that they had to put this innocent, loving, godly man on this false trial. And then they mocked him, they beat him, they scourged him, they forced him to carry his cross. And they stripped him, and they nailed him to the cross. He suffered and he was mocked in front of everyone. And if that wasn't enough, now they've stolen his body. Where is he? She is so consumed by her grief. But then she noticed someone behind her. Verse 14. At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. But she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, woman, why are you crying? Who is it that you are looking for? Thinking he was the gardener, she said, sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him. I will get him. She's like, please tell me where he is that I might anoint his body with spices. That's what she came to do. But she is consumed by her grief. Her hopes had been dashed, and she's broken, and she's lost. And Jesus, in this moment, takes away all of her grief and says, Mary, why are you crying? Who are you looking for? Who are you looking for? And that question echoes down all the way through us today. Jesus is asking us that same question today. Who are you looking for? Jesus knows where we're at. He knows that all of us, we all want to have some hope in life. We're all searching for the foundation where there is true hope and meaning and significance, where we can have true purpose and true contentment and satisfaction. And he's saying to us, and he's saying, to all of us here, all the way, all through the ages, to every human being, who are you looking for? And no matter where else you're looking for, if you're looking for hope in somewhere else apart from Jesus, then you will be disappointed. Who are you looking for? And our hearts, well, they're never satisfied. They're restless until we find our true hope in Jesus. Who are you looking for? Well, Mary asked him, sir, where have you laid the body? And then notice how Jesus responds. This is the punchline. This one beautiful word that remakes Mary's life. Told so simply, Jesus says to her, Mary, one word that remakes her whole world and gives her hope. You know, a person's name is the most precious word we can ever hear in our lives. And Mary first heard those words from Jesus when he called her out of darkness. It's a word that signifies friendship, grace, mercy, acceptance, and worth and value and love. Mary. And it brings hope to her. And Jesus is calling you by name today. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. You are my sheep, and I know each of my sheep by name. He's calling you. You know, my name is Winston. It's the name that my mum and dad gave. You will be called Winston, and you belong with us. You are part of us. You are important to us. You are valuable to us. You are greatly loved by us. You will be called Winston. And Jesus comes to Mary and he says to her, Mary. And they're words of grace and love. She knows that whatever has happened to her in the past, she's been washed clean, all of her guilt, all of her shame, all of her regret washed away through the blood of Jesus, all of her sins taken away and forgiven. She now belongs with Jesus. And that's what Jesus is saying to you today. He's calling you by name and he's offering you what Mary had been given, an identity, a place of value and worth to the God of the universe. He loves you and he says, I accept you. Come and accept my son and receive my forgiveness. You once were an enemy, but now if you come and put your trust in Jesus, you're a friend, you're a child of God. And so Mary, she turned towards Jesus. She hears, how would this man know my name? And she recognizes, she cries out in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher. Her whole world had been remade. And she falls on Jesus with ecstatic joy and excitement. Let me ask you, who are you looking for? If these past 12 months haven't been clear, you know, it's been a pretty much a write-off for many things for a lot of us. In some ways, some of us have been happy. We've had more time at home, but so many things have been a write-off, and we all could complete the sentence. I had hoped for more travel or whatever it is. We've missed out on so many different things. So many relationships were broken because of COVID. We've missed family from overseas. I had hoped. Or perhaps not just the past 30 months, perhaps your life in general is marked by those three words. I had hoped. You have regrets, failures, and guilt and shame, much like Mary. Dreams that have been dashed. Well, Mary's story can be your story. Jesus is calling your name as he called Mary's name. Her hopes were dead and buried, devastated, and yet she's standing at the tomb and she's confronted by Jesus and she is given hope. At the point of her hopelessness, Jesus says, here I am. Where is hope? Jesus says, here I am, and I'm calling your name. I have risen from the grave. I'm alive. They nailed me to the cross, but it was meant to be. I was meant to die for the sins of the world, and now I have conquered sin, and I've defeated death. I am here, and I am the hope of the world. And Jesus says to you and says to me, You can put your hope in him. I've laid down my life for you. I've rose from the dead. You can trust me, Jesus says. And it's my great prayer that you might come and put your hope and trust in Jesus this Easter. So often we put our hopes in the things of this world. in our careers, in wealth, in our marriages, even in relationships, in people. Yet we should realize time and time again, all these things often let us down. Only true hope can be found in Jesus. Hope that will not spoil or fade. Hope that lasts for eternity, because Jesus conquers death and he is risen and he is standing at the right hand of God. He's interceding for you and I, even this moment. Eternity belongs to Jesus. Salvation belongs to him. Where is hope found? Well, hope is found in Jesus. So who are you looking for? Look no further. Hope is found in Jesus. And my prayer is that you would put your trust and hope in Jesus. If you want to do that, if you've never done that before, then I want to lead you in a prayer. And if you want to put your trust in Jesus, just pray this prayer with me in your heart, and you will own this prayer for yourself. So if you want to, please pray with me. Heavenly Father, thank you for the risen Lord Jesus. Thank you that he has taken our sin upon himself. He died, but he didn't stay dead. He conquered death. And now if I trust in him, my sins are forgiven as well. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that for all of us who believe in Jesus, we will not perish, but have eternal life. Thank you for that sure and certain hope that can never be broken, that lasts for eternity, because Jesus is risen. We pray this in his name. Amen.